Good evening. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the 18th chapter of John's Gospel? John's Gospel, chapter 18. And I would like to read, starting at verse 12. The setting is the Garden of Gethsemane. The band of soldiers has just come to capture the Lord Jesus to take him away to be crucified. In verse 12 we read, "Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of that evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him, according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee it of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What? He that saw it, their record. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true. That ye might believe. 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, saith unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him. He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in to his glory? I would like to consider with you tonight some thoughts concerning the subject of truth. It's a subject that I have been enjoying in my own study recently. It's a subject that is one of those rare certainties in life. One of those things you can bank on. The certainty is this. Truth is fundamental to everything else in this universe. Truth is the bottom line. We live in a day and age when time is of the essence. Quite often we don't have time for details. We let others consider the details, and we just want them to fill us in on the bottom line. I can remember bringing home report cards. All my father was concerned with was a little number next to a word. English. Blank. Spanish. Blank. He didn't care that the teacher hated me. Or that the teacher really wasn't fair and didn't understand. He didn't care that there was a big football game that needed to be practiced for. The bottom line was that little number next to those words. English, math. There seemed to be a direct correlation between the bottom line on that card and my bottom line on a number of occasions. The truth is the bottom line of all bottom lines. Regardless of the subject, is it true? If it's not true, then it's irrelevant. If it's true, then we have to determine its importance. Is it true that there's a place called hell? We each have to answer that question. We each have to come to grips with whether or not that is a true statement. Is there a God? We search the starlit Milky Way, a million stars in rhythmic sway. Yet in our blindness, some may say, there is no God controlling. If the truth of the matter is, there is no God, then the subject of hell and heaven are irrelevant. The old time preachers used to say there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Is that the truth? What should I believe? John, in his writings, seems to be preoccupied with this subject. The 18th chapter, where we spent a good deal of time, has some classic struggles over what is truth. Turn back to John chapter 18 and we'll look at some of those classic struggles. In verse 14 we read, "Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." Here is an example of how the truth can be twisted. Here's an example of how someone who doesn't believe the truth can use it for his own gain. I don't know whether Caiaphas was aware of how much truth was in the statement he said or not. Certainly you and I, looking back over the course of time, know with a certainty that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. That man being Jesus Christ. If he had not died for the people, if he had not offered himself as our sacrifice, paid our penalty, it would have been anything but expedient for the people. But Caiaphas was concerned with Roman interference. And he knew that too much turmoil in Jerusalem would call for a Roman crackdown. So his thinking was, well, if we tell the Romans that we're going to crucify one of these troublemakers, it'll go easy for the rest of us. Caiaphas, being a high priest, probably was even able to back it up with some things in Scripture. Some people today would like to have you believe that God is a loving God. And God's love is so great that He could not bring Himself to ever cast out from His presence for all eternity a sinner. He's just got too much love. My Bible tells me that God is a God of love. Perhaps the purest definition of the word love is God. But if somebody who doesn't believe the truth takes the truth, they can twist it very easily. There are a lot of people that are going to stand before Him one day and they're going to have to give account of themselves, and it's sort of going to be like the report card time. No time for excuses. No reasons why or why not. As a matter of fact, it's not even going to do you any good to tell them that somebody told me from your book that you are a God of love and you are going to love away all my sin. One of the first questions we need to answer is, what is truth? Is it true that God is a God of love that couldn't stand to send one of His own creature, man, into a lost eternity? Or is it true that God has created a place that is reserved for anyone that does not love His Son as much as He loves His Son? Threaded through this 18th chapter of John is a side story of Peter. One we're very familiar with. My brother Bob touched on it last week. But in the context it's a story of truth or falsehood. Peter, who do you belong to? We each are going to have to answer that question someday. What think ye of Jesus? Are you one of His? In Peter's situation, the majority of those people standing around him swayed him to lie. It was beneficial, Peter thought, for his health and well-being that he slightly bend the truth this one time. But in the day to come, there will be no opportunity to lie. There'll be some who stand before him, and when he asks, "What think ye of Jesus?" Oh, they're going to say, "He's my Lord. Lord, Lord." He's going to say, "I never knew you. You confessed me with your mouth, but you never really believed." And so through this 18th chapter of John is this story of Peter. Peter, do you belong to him? No. Aren't you one of his followers? No. Did not I see you in the garden with him? No. And immediately, the cock crew. What's that a reference to? A stated truth. Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. It's a witness of the truth. In verse 20, one of the truest tests of truth, the Lord Jesus says, "Ask those who heard me." I could tell you anything you wanted to hear now, but if you really want to get the facts, ask those who heard me. The soldier couldn't think of anything better to do, so he hits him. And again, the subject of truth. If I've spoken a lie, bear witness of it. Tell the high priest what I said that wasn't true. If not, why'd you smite me? In verse 28, they take him from Caiaphas, the high priest, and they lead him over to Pilate's judgment hall. Pilate tries to get a straight answer. He can't find one anywhere. He asks the Jews, "What did he do wrong?" "Oh, well, we wouldn't have brought him to you if he hadn't done something wrong. You should know that." "Oh, if he's done something wrong, why don't you prosecute him?" "Oh, well, it's not lawful for us to put anybody to death." Verse 32, "That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled." Another truth. You begin to see a consistency develop, don't you? He opens his mouth, truth. He opens his mouth, truth. Pilate throws up his hands. "I can't find any fault in him." So Pilate goes back to the Lord Jesus and he says, "Tell me, give it to me straight. Are you a king or aren't you a king?" And the Lord Jesus, he doesn't answer. or does he? He says, I've come to bear witness of the truth. Pilate throws up his hands. What's truth have to do with it? Why are you bringing truth into it now? He's confused. And rightly so, he was a politician. It's election time. The one area in the United States where it really isn't a blot on your character if you bend the truth a little. Campaign promises, I think, is another word for little white lie. We turn to the 19th chapter of John, and we see what's going through Pilate's mind. You see, Pilate only knew how to rule by power. And really, any politician only knows how to rule by power. Pilate says to the Lord Jesus, in verse 10 of chapter 19, I have power to crucify you, or I have power to let you go. Don't you know that? Truth doesn't have anything to do with it. It's power. The Lord Jesus gives him another truth. The only power you have, Pilate, is what you receive from on high. Pilate was confused. He thought that the universe was run by power. And the Lord Jesus was trying to tell him that when he came back as king, truth was going to govern, not power. He was a king, but he was ruling in a completely different sphere. One where power didn't enter into it. The question in this kingdom was, what is truth? How would you have answered Pilate? If somebody came up to you tomorrow and asked you, what is truth? What would you tell them? How about this? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. How's that for truth? Let old Pilate have it with both barrels. But you wouldn't stop there, would you? Each one of those verses does not end. Where I stopped. All have gone astray. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Pilate, that's the truth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin. It has been appointed unto men once to die. It is true that after death is the judgment. But Hebrews goes on to say, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. John said in that verse we read in the 19th chapter, I bear witness. I saw it with my own eye. It is true. His blood was shed for the remissions of sins. It's a tremendous truth, isn't it? Christ died for our sins. That's the truth, Pilate. That's the bottom line. And before that truth, all other things will be measured. There's another truth, Pilate. Every knee shall bow to that blessed man of Calvary. And you can either bow because you want to, or you can bow because you have to. There's something tricky about truth, though. There's a fine line of difference between knowing truth and believing it. Believing it suggests obedience. That's where you get Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham believed God. Abel believed God. Noah believed God. Moses believed God. And the list goes on and on. There's a difference between knowing and believing. The Lord Jesus says, the devils know who I am. Satan and all his hosts. They know that I'm the Son of God. They know the truth. But that's not going to save them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever knows, that whosoever believes, shall have everlasting life. The question still remains, what think ye of Christ? Paul says in Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Israel is God's chosen people. What's Paul talking about? Paul must have gotten his facts mixed up somewhere. The Romans, they need salvation. The Greeks, they need salvation. But Israel? For I bear record of them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They haven't obeyed. What's the truth? Is God going to require of me that I come up to his standard of righteousness? Or am I in my own good works and good clean living going to be able to enter heaven based on my own righteousness? What's the truth? Then there's the two on the road to Emmaus. We don't really have the time to look at them. The Lord comes alongside and he says, you're sad. Why? And then he rebukes them. Lord, if there's any time for comfort, it's now. Not rebuke. Why does he rebuke them? Fools. Slow of heart. To know God? To know the Old Testament? Was he rebuking them for their knowledge of Scripture? Because they didn't know that the Old Testament said there would be a Messiah who would redeem Israel? Why does he rebuke them? O fools, and slow of heart to believe. What's the bottom line? Is it true? At a time when they should have been rejoicing, they were sad. He's alive. Do we believe that? But the Lord Jesus, if He was to draw alongside of us in our daily walk, be concerned with how quickly we obeyed His truth. That's a hard one for me to answer. Oh, I know it. I was sitting in a pew from when I was 2 weeks old. I know it. But do I believe it? Do I make it mine? Is it real to me? We had a chuckle last week because somebody dated. Am I living in light of the fact that He could be back tonight? If He should come today and find my hands so full of future plans, however fair, in which my Savior has no share, what would He say? Later on in the chapter, the end of the chapter of Luke 24, He leads them out and He's taken up from them. And they go their way rejoicing. Ah, now they believe. On the road to Emmaus they knew, but now they believe. And they go their way rejoicing. In Acts, before they go their way rejoicing, they're just standing there gazing. The angels have to come along and prod them a little bit. What are you standing here looking up for? He's coming back. Truth. Don't just stand here. Believe it. Do something. I think His words went something like this. Occupy till I come. Do we know the truth? Can we quietly stand alone, just us and God, and rest in what we have decided is truth? Are we perfectly content with the answer we may someday give if we ever come face to face with this being called God? If we are we living in light of it? Or are we sad when we should be rejoicing? Are we slow to believe? Is our citizenship in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior? Solomon gave this word of advice. Buy the truth and sell it. Oh, that we might buy the truth. And it wouldn't just be a head knowledge, but we'd make it ours. And that those around us would know that we are the children of the only true There's one place for truth. one place to find it. There's one place to put it. What think you of Christ? The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand. On its firm foundation, where the Bible stands. Oh, that it might be real in our own lives. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the comfort and the encouragement that it gives us. We thank Thee, Father, for the stories it tells of Thy love. We thank Thee, Father, for the warnings it gives of coming judgment. Oh, Father, we pray that we would make this book real to ourselves. If there's any here, Father, who do not know its truth, we pray that Thy Spirit would deal gently with them, that they would see and understand. And Father, for those that are Thine, oh, that we might make it our own, and it might be seen in the way that we live in the days that lie ahead. We thank Thee again, Father, for all of Thy goodness to us, most of all for Thy Word, and what it tells of Thy beloved Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen.